to get intimate with Checkpoint Intimates.
Yes, you're here with another episode of Checkpoint Intimates. We are your weekly gaming podcast where two members of the Checkpoint team go one-on-one and get intimate on a particular gaming topic. My name is Elliot, joined in studio by Cameron.
You are coming in hot, hot, hot with that energy.
It's all about energy.
That is a thing that you just did.
That's going to be the start of every show now.
It's not.
No, it's not.
As the editor of these podcasts, it is not.
Even I couldn't be bothered keeping that up for another week. Like, that's enough.
I couldn't do it a second time, full stop.
That's enough of that. So on today's show, I actually want to talk about fictional in-universe games from other fictional media. Now, that is a really weird way to say it, but basically what I'm talking about is think of any TV show or movie or whatever, and the video game that they've made up within that universe that they display.
That episode of The Simpsons where Marge gets addicted to MMOs.
I don't even remember that
one. So Bart is playing an MMO, and Marge, to get closer to Bart, starts playing the MMO, and she's really good at it, and she becomes this unstoppable PvP knight in black armor, and right. It's hilarious because it's just like nothing in that could work in a game ever.
So how many video games do you think The Simpsons themselves created? Because I think of The Simpsons, I think of Lee Cavallo's Putting Challenge and Bone Storm. Do you remember those?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I know. Trust me, I know all of them because I'm pretty sure I follow fictional products in The Simpsons on Twitter. It's a it's a Twitter handle, and they just tweet pictures of fictional products that have come out of The Simpsons.
So something that The Simpsons probably has heaps.
Oh,
of
for
these
sure,
things, right?
And just like background dressing as well, posters. It's that thing like you see a movie and there'll be like posters for a movie in the background, and they'll be talking about, you know, Bone Thresher 3, the threshening, and they're all like, wow, that movie was really derivative and all this stuff, and you're like, what's it trying to rip off? It's that whole thing where like in the Scream movies, there's the Stab movie series,
right,
which is
a
fictional retelling of the murders happening in the Scream movies. I like, it's a lot to take in. And in the third one, the producer is the killer, and he's secretly Sydney's brother.
This is going slightly off script.
When have I ever gone on script?
I think it's worth noting that this has to... We're making differentiations as far as these are fictional, right?
Yes.
Like, if I think of... When you mentioned MMO, I thought immediately of the South Park episode where they get hooked on World of Warcraft.
Yeah.
But that's a real property that actually exists.
Even if it's a parody version of it, like, even though it still says that it's Warcraft. On the box, it is Warcraft. We are talking...
We know.
They have made a new game from scratch, purely for whatever they need to achieve. And that's often what it is. It's that they need to achieve something that perhaps video games also don't do at all.
Sure. I mean, we see that with a lot of VR stuff as well, where they're kind of trapped in an MMO or trapped inside this kind of future where you can pretty much put on the mask and be like locked into it. And all of a sudden it's this massive like multiplayer online experience that everybody takes very seriously.
I'm jumping in like super deep straight away.
Mm-hmm.
I want to talk about something that happened to me as a kid that really has always stuck with me, and that is the TV show Daria features an episode where Daria and all of her schoolmates put on virtual reality. And
does it?
Yes.
Surely Daria was out before the VR kind of craze that ever happened.
It was when it was like... It's like that days of like a Lawnmower Man and all that stuff where you would...
I don't know what that is, Cam.
So Lawnmower Man is also like a horror movie where this scientist is creating VR.
Nobody knows that movie.
Trust me, people know it. Ask anyone of around my age and up, they know Lawnmower Man because it was this big graphical step forward for cinema, and they put on a VR headset. And this guy is creating virtual worlds, and then his dumb, dim-witted helper puts on the mask, and it sends him insane but super smart, and then he's, like, digitally killing people.
Mm.
Anyway, there's an episode of Daria where they put on a virtual reality headset, and it's basically a fantasy world, and in that, it's this thing where they're running on, like, a never-ending treadmill, and they're in a little circle thing around them, and they can run in any direction and do anything. And, like, that kind of exists now, but Daria had it in its show well before it was even possibly a concept, and I was like, well, this exists surely in America. Where are they pulling this from? So I spent forever being like, eventually I'm going to see this amazing VR. Like, it has to exist. I realize it's an animated show, folks, but as a kid, I was like, this exists. And it wasn't until, like, I think 2 years ago, I saw one. I'm just like, holy shit, that's basically the VR from Daria.
Yeah, crazy. So Daria, well before its time.
Yep.
Clearly, you know, the treadmill designed VR stuff that we see now ripped off Daria.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Yeah. So when I think of the VR kind of stuff, obviously the big ones, stuff like Ready Player One, right?
Which where is ridiculous. Where you
step into that world. And I think the world is called Oasis within that movie, the kind of game within Ready Player One. And I don't know, I'm kind of here for it. Like, part of me really wants that to be a potential future, right? And not to get too existential, but if we live in a timeline where potentially there's a future where instead of dying, you hook yourself up into some kind of alternative
download
world.
Your brainwaves.
Yeah, but I would do that in a heartbeat.
But then don't you just exist as an algorithm? Not technically. No, yes. But then you're not alive. You're just.
Yes.
You're not conscious.
Well, yeah, of course you're conscious.
No, but you're not. Like, I think it's more than just your brain. No. I don't know. That's a bit too meta for us to get into, and I'm not doing that.
I mean,
right
let's
now.
Not pretend like we understand the science behind it, but
no.
That's what I think of when I think of something like Ready Player One, right? Like, obviously, that's not how it actually worked in the Ready Player One universe, but
no.
It's that kind of thing where you can be fully absorbed into the video game that has been created by the creator,
the,
right?
The creator who made it, he's downloaded himself into the game. So I feel like that's how you would exist in that kind of instance of a snapshot of you in a moment. You
the
can never
Hideo
grow.
Kojima would, like, no. got Do all not. The celebrities into Death Stranding.
Oh my god, it was actually his version of Noah's Ark. Something's going to wipe us all out, but all of the celebrities are still alive in Death Stranding. I want to talk about some other ones that are going to be so obscure that you won't know, but it's going to click for someone out there. Now, probably the one that I always remember is a horror game that came out, and it was essentially like The Ring, but a video game, and you would play it as a slasher, and you'd play this horror game, this terrible, like...
Wait, it's a real game, or it's a game inside...
No, so in the movie, sorry, it's a movie.
What's the movie?
I'm going to try and remember the name.
Oh, okay, all right,
And basically, in the movie, people play not a virtual reality game, just a horror game. And in the game, if your character dies, you then die in the real world in a similar instance.
Uh-huh.
And it was this idea of
you
like...
die in VR, you die in real life.
It was this kind of like... It had like this weird, like, there was magic inside the video game, which is why everyone was dying from playing the video game. And it was like that... It always stuck out to me as one of those first instances of like... the video games being a bad, dangerous, like, violent thing. You know, the violence of video games.
Yeah.
And that one's always stood out to me. And it's this thing of, like, it plays like a cutscene from, like, the original Tomb Raider. Like, it's very, like, stocky. Everyone's moving real weird and janky. But it's supposed to be scary. And I'm like, I'm not scared because that isn't... even when it came out, I'm like... that's so dated. What game are they actually playing?
Yeah. Well, I remember Black Mirror had an episode, a VR episode, where it was the horror theme too, where basically you hook up and the game will unravel your biggest fears and understand what your fears are and basically go through your own mind. And I remember watching that and thinking that looks like fun. I kind of want to be... test something out like that. I don't know how it would actually work in real life, but a game like that can adapt to your fears and put yourself inside a horror setting like that with virtual reality and genuinely strapped in, like, yeah, that seems like a very powerful thing that a game like that could do.
I have found the horror movie.
All right, what is it?
It's called Stay Alive.
Okay.
So it came out in 2006. If anyone would like to go back and watch it, it is bad, though. It is a bad movie. Even by 2006 slasher movie standards, it was poor quality. Now, there's been a few movies which bring video games into it in the past. And they always seem to feel like they miss a beat a little bit. I want to talk about Gerard Butler.
Yay!
And Gerard Butler in the movie... Player. Have you ever seen this, Elliot?
No, I haven't seen Player.
So this is essentially what it is it's like a video game, but instead of controlling a character in this world, the pro first-person shooter players are controlling a person. What? So they take criminals from jails, give them real guns, and they are the avatar for a teenage boy in this
competition. Right, and the criminal has no control of their own body. And
the criminal loses control of their body.
Yeah.
And the kid is the control, like these pro esports players are controlling this.
I don't know that this counts as a video game. It just...
Well, no, because the whole point is that it's like, then at one point, like,
wait, do the players not know that it's real?
No, they do. Okay, right. But then, like, he gets out, like, he gets away, but the whole thing is, like, they're there with, like, a controller.
Yeah.
And they're, like, playing it like it's a video game, sure, but it's a real person. He gets away, and he has to go and find his wife, because they were set up, and then they were forced into being these avatars. And so he gets out, and he goes, and he finds his wife, and his wife is having... She exists in, like, a real-world version of Second Life.
Mm.
And so they've, like, dressed her up, and she's living with some dude, and, like, it's basically... I want to say forced, like, sex labor. It's super dodgy and weird, and it's all just like, but it's an action movie, so we're just going to wave over the fact that these people have lost their ability to control themselves and are the pawns of people playing a video game. And she now just, like, puts on clothes and goes to the club and sleeps with people, I guess. And he gets out of this first-person shooter, invades this Second Life world, like this arena of Second Life, so that he can grab her and they escape and they bring down the system. It's so weird, Elliot.
I've got so many questions. Is the character creation screen you just walking through the prison selecting your criminal? You're like, I want that one. And then they're like, all right, drag him out. And they hook him up and remove their kind of ability to control themselves.
Because that's the big thing. Like, this kid always has Gerard Butler. Gerard Butler is his avatar and he's never died.
Right.
The kid is so good.
Yeah.
Because obviously, once you get shot, you're done.
Does Gerard Butler's physical talents come into it at all, as far as, like...
I would assume so.
Yeah.
But, like, it's an action movie, so all the inmates are ripped as all hell. Like,
oh, of course.
There's no, like...
There are no fat prisoners.
There's no, like, tax fraud dude who's got a comb over running around with a Uzi.
There should have been.
It would be
missed
amazing
opportunity.
What are some of yours, Elliot? Because mine are really bad.
Yours are very out of center. Like, I didn't see them coming. I think of stuff like, do you remember the Community episode where they all, like, I don't know if you've watched Community.
Yes,
the
no,
sitcom.
I know the episode where they go into the, like, Zelda-like RPG.
Yes, and it's this adorable kind of, like, 2D sprite world where they're chasing after Pierce's father. And it's, like, this whole interconnected kind of cooperative game where they have to just beat the bad guy, right? And it's very video game. Like, I think a lot of these examples we're going to talk about almost don't understand video games.
Oh, 100%. I don't think any... Because I feel like anyone who does understand video games would just be like, oh, well, we can use this video game. Mm. Rather than, let's design a whole new mechanic.
And when they design their own new mechanic, it's almost like they forget about the limitations of video games, and they go so far into the...
You're talking about Abed marrying the local innkeeper and then just having babies and they mining the local gold. Like, it's bizarre.
It was fantastic. But I love that episode of Community. It was fantastic. It was one of the best ones they've done. And a lot of other people must have really enjoyed it too, because I remember... that video game being turned into a real video game.
No, it wasn't.
By fans.
Oh, okay.
And I, like...
Fans are the worst.
I'm all for it. Because it's not like you can recreate Ready Player One or Sword Art Online, right?
But they're going to try it.
Yeah. I mean, one day. But you can recreate these kind of, you know, 2D pixel game is so much different, right?
Oh, so easy.
And obviously the things achieved within the Community version are impossible. As you mentioned, Abed and... you know, romancing an NPC villager and, you know, going through all those menus.
And the weird thing that they have to do where they're sitting in the big booth or something, like, aren't they? Isn't it also like they're wearing a VR headset when they're playing it?
I don't know if they're in VR, but they're definitely inside a booth.
Like a closed booth.
Yeah, closed booth, so they can't physically interact with each other. And as soon as they leave their chair, there's like a countdown before their character dies or something.
Yeah.
Or just... I feel think like Pierce they're wearing a headset
just
something.
Because...
Yeah, they're wearing a headset for sure.
No,
but
I mean,
not VR.
Like, it's not across their eyes?
Not from memory, but maybe you're right.
I can't remember. It all blurs into one when you're talking about like how... Because let's talk police procedurals.
What's police procedurals?
So things like Law and Order.
Right, yeah, yeah.
NCIS. Even, I think, Sherlock. They're like, we need to have a video game that makes a man kill a lady. And that's essentially what it'd be like. This man plays this game, and because he plays this game, he's violent. And he met her through this video game, and you know, she said some things online that led him along, and so then he killed her. Police procedural shows love the idea that video games are creating murderers. That's the only reason it exists.
To be fair, police procedural shows love the idea that anything creates a murderer. They're also limited on ideas now that, like, any stretch they can take, they're going to take it. It's like, oh, video game, sure. Or this is the music killer who listens to too much jazz, clicks his fingers, and stabs people. Like, you know, it's all a stretch.
The music killer.
It's like, all a stretch.
That's a real good... You were in the naming department over at NYPD, weren't you?
Jazz hand killer.
That's better. Yeah, no, I like that one. Yeah, better than the music
killer. Give me a bit more
killer.
Time.
No, it's on the spot. You see the killing happening. You have to be like, the music killer. And he turns around and goes, really? That's the best you could give me? But yeah, no, like, it's that idea, though, that, again, it's a bunch of people who are, let's be honest, the generation above us, who are creating these video games to serve a narrative point. And this is where so many of them come from. It needs to be a narrative point. And then they miss the point completely. I feel like you've got a good one.
Can we talk about Roy? From Rick and Morty, the VR game where they plug Morty in at the arcade and he's just living the life of a character called Roy. And it's literally just him living out the life of Roy. Roy, you know, moving boxes, Roy getting cancer, Roy beating cancer, Roy falling off ladder, dying. And then Morty comes out of the VR headset feeling like he's lived an entire life that's actually happened within like 5 minutes and people are just watching him play this game. You haven't seen this, obviously?
I was going to say that you can definitely talk at me about it, but I've never watched Rick and Morty, so...
I mean...
I guess my IQ's not high enough.
Yeah, IQ's just not there,
it's
Cameron.
It's just not there.
But I think it's... I mean, it's funny. The whole... I mean, all of these kind of in-universe fictional video games are created for a purpose, right? It's created to make a killer in, you know, these police shows. It's invented to kind of create this, like, far-flung... you know, future society in shows like Ready Player One or whatever. Mm-hmm. In this, it's just created for the effect of comedy. And
I think comedy video games, like fictional video games for a comedy perspective, oh boy, they're the best ones.
They're the best ones.
I love those ones. There's also like, I think Adventure Time has one as well, with like a bee or something.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me.
Because BMO is a main character in that, and she is basically just...
A video game.
Game Boy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's a little console thing.
Yeah.
But I actually don't remember, like, I haven't seen all of Adventure Time, I'm going to be honest.
It's one that I watched a few episodes here and there. And I think in, like, an early episode, they actually go inside BMO and are in the video game.
I mean, that whole show is based on, like, RPGs and D&D and stuff like that. So, yeah, absolutely no surprises there.
What about The Matrix?
Is that... Does
technically,
that
that's a video game, I feel.
You reckon? I mean, it's definitely a simulation, and where simulation meets video games, I guess, like, that line is very blurry, so... Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, I
don't
guess.
Know, does it count? Like, this is... Ooh.
Mm. But isn't the point of The Matrix the fact that it is real life?
Oh, people can't tell... So you think of it... It needs to be that distinction that they know that it's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. All right, Matrix is not a video game.
No.
It's subjugation.
Yes.
There's the only two things it can be. We are now going to list all video games and be like, is it a video game or is it subjugation?
Because as soon as we get the whole simulation aspect, then that just brings in a whole nother conversation about all the other properties that
like
you simulation.
Star Trek and...
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's so many.
But Star Trek, that holodeck I'd count because they know
you
and they go
a holodeck?
In there to play. Yeah, yeah, they know that. The Danger Room from X-Men, I'd count that.
Okay.
That's a video game. They know that it's not real.
But the point of a video game is often
this
for
this is not the video games you were expecting from me,
no.
Is it?
No. You've come, yeah.
I've hit you with too many left fields. Give me another one of yours.
What about Jumanji?
Yep, the new Jumanji, which is having its sequel to the reboot, is about to come out.
So obviously Jumanji originated as a board game idea, right? Into a movie. But the newest one is a video game into a movie.
It was actually really smart. They were like, well, we need to evolve with the times. Video games are more popular than board games. I know I love board games, folks. I do. But we have to admit, in the general public, video games are played more than board games now. And so they were like, let's do a video game. And oh boy, this is written by people who at least played a video game once in their life. Yeah. Because have you seen it?
Yeah, I've watched it. Absolutely.
It is a love letter to classic gaming. There is so much stuff in there. You just go, yeah, this is video games. Like, you've managed to... This is what it is to take video games to that next level and understand it from a slightly different meta level in terms of, like, what would video games interacting with a real person be like?
Yeah, including a male playing as a female character.
Yeah.
That's every MMO you've ever played.
Wait.
Why? Oh, yeah. Jack Black, right?
Well, no, it's a woman. A female person was playing as a male character.
Oh, have I got it backwards?
Yeah, it's the girl inside Jack Black, which is a statement I never wanted to say. And there it is.
There's a girl inside Jack Black
has to, like, act like her.
Yes.
And that's why he actually managed to do...
You're right.
Phenomenal.
How did I get that backwards?
Yeah. I don't know. But, you know, I think the sequel's about to come out and they're playing with the idea of an older generation getting into video games. It'll be very interesting to see what they do, playing around with it. I'm here for it.
Mm. Do you have any final examples before we wrap up?
Oh, I just went brain dead.
Yeah, we've probably exhausted most of the ones we came in here expecting to talk about.
Can I talk about one more?
Yeah.
Again, it's a bit more like a computer system, but do you remember the TV show Reboot?
No.
So it was before your time. It was one of those like original like 3D animation games. And it was basically took the inside of a computer and turned it into like a city. And there was like a evil virus that they were fighting and all this stuff. And it was insane. And I loved it. And that is my last statement on that.
Fair enough.
Reboot. Look it up.
What about like just as a general ending statement? Do we like these video games found within other media, or are they
with
just
like
always
a
badly
huge
done?
Grain of salt? Like, there's a like, yes, but
yeah,
there's always like a yes,
where,
but
as a gamer, you often know better. And I think a lot of the times, these films and pieces of media are made for people who probably aren't gamers or aren't big enough gamers to see the flaws in it. But at the same time, I don't think any of these things are taking themselves seriously. So. Nor should we.
I think it'd be quite interesting. I think we're about to see one of the biggest takes on this with
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds playing
a free guy.
Free guy, yeah. Who is an NPC who figures out that he's in a video game.
I mean, according by the look of the trailer, it just looks like Grand Theft Auto Online to me. So.
Yeah, it is. That's 100% what the game is. It'll be interesting to see if that can hit all of those kind of key points of what modern gaming is, because I think a lot of ones that get it right go for classic gaming. I think modern gaming is where they're still struggling to figure out what is a game in the modern era.
What is game?
I think everything always has to come with that little bit of grain of salt.
Yeah,
where you go, ha, we're represented, and that's a funny in joke, but then 80% of this is wrong.
Yes, well, of course.
Yeah.
Cameron, thank you for joining me to talk about fictional video games found in other fictional media.
I'm glad I could be here for it.
My name has been Elliot, and join us next week for more intimate goodness. See you then.
Bye.
You've been listening to Checkpoint Intimates. If you enjoyed this podcast, please rate and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher.